is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. He had done all for us. Everything is done to his glory, and he has done it on our behalf. Amen. We were saved before the creation or foundation of the world, but God's word to us informs us. It informs us. It don't come to get us saved. It informs us of who we are, what we have, what we can expect. It's in the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God. And this is what? By God's choosing, choice, enablement, and blessing in the vessel, Elder Sister Karen Liverman. Amen. The Lord is giving us today information from him to us so that we might know. So without further ado, let us receive Elder Sister Karen Liverman and the gospel of the grace of God with a very hearty amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, we just thank and praise the Lord for the opportunity of coming before you again. Hallelujah. And the Lord is good and merciful. Hallelujah. He's kind. Hallelujah. And the good times, the bad times, all times. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Can you please bow your head for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, how morning by morning, new mercies you show us. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, that we're the recipients of those things. We are asking right now that you might remember those that are here in each and every family, those that are yet on their way, those in our worldwide web audience, Lord. We're asking that you might continue to bless them abundantly. Hallelujah. With the knowledge of who we are in Christ and what was done for us through the blood of Jesus. Father, we're asking that you might give us hearing ears, seeing eyes, that we may behold the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God. We thank God for the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher, who will illuminate to our spirits those things concerning you and the great works that you manifested in time that were done in eternity for us, the body of Christ. Father, we ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my God, when I was studying for this, I got so much stuff. I said, I can't tell it all. Not at one time anyway. But when you see me coming, do you know where I'm coming from? Ephesians. And after Ephesians, where am I going? Colossians. And you may say, Sister Karen, why do you belabor us with that every single time? But did you know there may be some out there that haven't heard it? There may be some tuning in that don't know about this great news. Hallelujah. So I am compelled. I'm compelled to start there. So, Deacon Gavin, if you'd be so kind, you can start. But before, I'd like to give a heads up to those that are in the World Wide Web audience. We are going to be ministering today from the pastor's pen, The Eternal Comprehension of Now, dated June 6, 2015. And also, if I can get to it, the pastor's pen, dated July 5th, Receive One Another in Love. I don't know if I'm going to get to that second part, but I'm going to do the best I can. If not, the Lord may grant me grace to come back and follow it up. But we're going to start right now with Ephesians, and we go to it so much, your Bible ought to be marked there. Fall at it. Mine is. All right, Deacon.
Amen. We're reading from the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. We're going to begin in the King James Version, from the King James Version, verse 3 through 5. Amen. King James Version, Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen. Can you please follow with the Greek interlinear?
Now, from the interlinear Greek text, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of world to be or being us holy and unblemished before him in love.
Hallelujah.
Having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
I'd like to call your attention to verse 4. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That we should be holy and without blame. We, the body of Christ, are holy and without blame through imputation, or the act that God ascribes or reckons the righteousness of Christ to our account. There is no way you yourself can make yourself holy. Now, don't make no any bones about it. Holiness is not because you wear your hair a certain way, or your hemline hit a certain way, or you don't wear bright colors, or you don't go to the movie house. And we could just go on and on and on about the things in times past that were attributed to holiness. All these things. I remember our pastor made mention of a brother who said, you couldn't mark his life. Oh, my God. What brashness. What pop and... You couldn't mark his life? If you look at sin, in the Old Testament, sin was outlined as an act. That's what the law was about. It was the teacher that brought us to the knowledge of what sin was, and it outlined it. In New Testament, it's a thought. That's what Jesus brought out. He said, if you look on a woman and lust after her, you've already sinned. So when we talk about sin and you not being able to have your life marked or being blameless because of you and the way you live, you know, I was in a clothing store the other week buying something for my husband because I have to do most of his shopping. Yeah, because he wouldn't buy himself nothing. But so I'm in this clothing store and the salesman was just distraught. He said, oh, this is the darkest day of my life. I said, well, what seemed to be the problem? He said, the Supreme Court. He started talking about some Supreme Court rulings. And I said, oh, well, you know, lighten up. You know, I said, you know, God is in control. Oh, no. Oh, America's going to hell. You know, I said, you know, kind of lighten up. I said, everything is in Christ. Everything's according to God. You know, but he couldn't get it. Then finally he said to me, you being so gracious because you're giving folks a free pass. I said, by God, we all got a free pass. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we all got a free pass. Make no bones about it. The sinner gets what he deserves, which is separation from God. The saints get the free pass, and that we don't get what we deserve through the grace and the blood of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. But it's not about us. It is all about him. It's about his completed work in eternity when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. You don't have no claim to that. You can't sit around and brag about how you are saved. You're saved. Hallelujah. In eternity was an eternal act. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You didn't have nothing to do with it, and you didn't bring nothing to the table. So how are you going to take credit? Oh, my God. So I told him, I said, well, you know, lighten up. We all get a free pass. You know, see, he's got us, the body of Christ, judging the world. Oh, my God. Y'all need to stop that. Realizing that God is merciful and kind, and that we, the body of Christ, we don't get what we deserve. But we all deserve the same end. had it not been for Jesus. Hallelujah. Had it not been for election. Hallelujah. In eternity. Had it not been for salvation. I mean, you can go on and you need to study those actions. Righteousness. We're the righteousness of God in Christ, because he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God in him. Ain't got nothing to do with you. Nothing to do about how you wear your hair, whether or not you have on makeup, whether or not you got a bright tie on. I like these ties these brothers got on. But that doesn't have anything to do with righteousness and holiness. So you guys got to separate that. It's not about us. It's about the fact that we were passive in receiving the kindness and grace of God. Passive. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So anytime you put yourself in the equation, you're on the wrong foot. Hallelujah. Because it is not about you, saints. It is all about him. Holiness is imputed or transferred to us via Christ and his shed blood, the death, burial, and resurrection, which were acts completed in God in eternity before the foundation of the world. He is called the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Christ is our propitiation, or he is our, us, the body of Christ. He is our acceptable sacrifice. In olden times, they had to go and make sacrifices all the way through the year. The temple was the place where they sacrificed. They sacrificed pigeons. They sacrificed lambs, bulls, oxen. It was a nasty, stinky place. But Jesus died once and for all. Once and for all of our sins. When did imputation and propitiation take place? In eternity. Hallelujah. Where Christ is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. We need to study the ancients. Yeah. Election, salvation, propitiation, righteousness. Hallelujah. All those ancients. You need to turn your TV off. Yeah. And study the ancients. It's a whole lot in there. You can never get enough of that. Now, can you go to the second one? I'm almost done already, huh? No, I'm not. No, I got a lot here. Matter of fact, you know, we are a teaching church, guys, and I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. We're not going to be able to go through all of them in detail. However, I'm going to make reference, and I'm depending on you to take the initiative to follow them through, and I'm just trusting Holy Spirit will illuminate those things to you as you go. Can you please read Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10?
Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, first from the King James Version. For in him all the fullness dwelleth, all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
And can you read it in the Greek, please?
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him, having been filled, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Notice in verse 10, it says, having been filled. Yes. Having been filled when? In eternity. Hallelujah. Your life is completed in Christ in eternity. Yes. Hallelujah. Not in time. It manifests in time according to the divine will and purposes of God. But it was actualized in God's eternal working in his original decree. One decree in eternity. See, most of us think that God is making daily decisions. And if he's making daily decisions, that means that we can effectuate his decision. How? By fasting, by praying, by giving up something for Lent. We can just go on and on the things that we make up to do in order to change or impact the mind of God. And I'm telling you that what is already is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that prayer does change things. It changes you. It causes you to line up with the will of God that's already done. Our lives are completed in Christ in God. Hallelujah. And prayer will change, but it changes you. Kind of like the woman who was had the unsaved husband, and she said, Lord, you know, he was cutting up, doing stuff. She said, I'm not going to eat. I'm pushing my plate back until there's a change in my home. I'm not eating nothing until there's a change in my home. So the first day she fasted, didn't have nothing to eat or drink. Second day she fasted, didn't have nothing to eat or drink. Third day, the Lord said, okay, you can eat. She said, oh, no, I'm not eating until there's a change in my home. See, she was expecting God to come down and put fire on her husband or something, you know. God said, there has been a change. You change. You stop nagging. You stop complaining. You stop being mean and ornery. Yeah. He said, yeah, it's a change. You change. Yeah. So anytime I go to the Lord about William, and I sometimes have to go often. Yeah. Like I know he has to go often for me. God never tells me anything about William. You know what's revealed to me? About me. The light is shining on me. Yeah. The Lord is talking to me about me. So when you go and pray, stop complaining about your children and your husband and people on your job, your boss and so on. And start praying for yourself that the light be shining on you, that you learn how to walk in the love of God, that you have more patience and kindness and meekness. Hallelujah. That you go to Galatians and do some of those things that the fruits of the Spirit may be illuminated in your life. Yeah, that's what that's about. So I'll get to my word now. I'll stop that. But I'm going to get to where the word is. I'm reading to you from the pastor's pen, the eternal comprehension of now. And it is dated. I got to get back to it. It's dated June 6, 2015. Hence the inquiry is, who are those loving calls to God? In the present now, we're called to love by God. Love doesn't come to us naturally. Is this referencing those who profess emotional relationships with God, which is exemplified through their flesh? According to spiritually enlightened conveyance outlined in eternal context, the ever more informed expression reveals that it is thoroughly understood that natural humankind in the flesh and present now are dead in sin to God. Thus, the sole initiation of relationship was established in eternal now. And we reference Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Deacon, can you read that? We're going to look at that. And I know I'm not going to be able to get through all this because as I was reading, I said, I got to tell them a little about that. And I got to tell them a little about this scripture. So there will certainly be a part two because I got too much. And I'm not going to do like some of these brothers back here, keep you for an hour and a half. Yeah. You know, Paul preached one night. He preached all night. And a brother got tired and fell down from the roof and died. They had to pray for him and bring him back. Now, I'm not going to keep y'all all night. Ain't nobody going to fall through no roof. No. But we're going to try to get some of it in. Deacon.
Romans chapter 8, verse 1, King James Version. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, from the interlinear Greek text. Know then now condemnation. Know then now condemnation to the end Christ Jesus.
Uh-oh. Where's the rest of it?
It does not appear in the original Greek text.
Amen. You know, one sister came to my church and she said, why do you all read from so many Bibles? Do I have to have a satchel of Bibles? I told her, no. I said, we read from basically the King James as well as the Greek interlinear. And I give her this example on why we need the Greek interlinear. In the King James, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you look in your Bible, it's in italics. Because it was added. The writers thought it was just too good to believe that there was no condition. But we in the body of Christ are under a unilateral agreement, not a bilateral, Old Testament was bilateralism. It said, for instance, if you will repent and pray, I'll heal the land. So God had a part, man had a part. But in our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, the mystery, the body of Christ, it's unilateral. It's only involving one. We are passive. We're not participating at all. And so in Romans chapter 1 in the Greek, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, period. Nothing after that. There's no condition after it. And that's something to shout about. In olden times, we thought we had to bring something to the table. And that was true under the Old Testament times. But under now, the dispensation of the grace of God, Jesus paid it all. Like in Colossians, we are completed in Christ. It's already done for you. Our salvation is a free gift. Nothing that you achieve by joining a church, giving a preacher your hand, reciting the sinner's prayer, and getting baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. I can go on and on and on and on and on, and what things we have been told in past time constituted salvation. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, period. Unconditional. So that's important for you to get. Hallelujah. This is a predetermined chart based on his love in accordance with which God in decree restored his beloved into fellowship with him. We're talking about salvation. And they reference Romans chapter 9, verse 11. And as you know, if you can read that on your own, it's talking about Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, and they hadn't even been born yet. He chose one above the other. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. And we got to go there. Oh, my God, I cannot. Because what it does, Ephesians 1, verse 11, points to the sovereignty of God, which we many times discount. We discount the fact that God is totally in charge by himself. We are not co-piloting with God. You are not making any decisions with God and joined with God, bring about anything that's being manifested in the flesh. Everything that is according to God and his divine will and purpose. It is not about you. It is all about him. Deacon, can you please read that in both the Greek and the King James?
Now we're reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. First from the King James Version. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
The counsel of his own will.
Mm-hmm.
He's not sitting around waiting for you to do something so he can do something. It's already done according to the counsel of his own will. Mm-hmm. Can you read the Greek, please?
Now from the interlineal Greek text. In whom also we were chosen as inheritance, being predestinated according to purpose of the all things operating according to the counsel of the will of him.
God, it's all about him and not about us. Another reference for you to look up later is 2 Timothy 1 and 9. A component of this entails God and sovereignty, having called or chosen ones unto himself by means of the Holy Spirit. Do you know if the Holy Spirit don't draw you, you're not coming?
Amen.
I can sit here and preach till I turn blue in the face. If the Holy Spirit does not illuminate and draw people, they're not coming. Hallelujah. So those that come are the ones that he's called. Those that call are those that he has chosen. And when did he choose them? In eternity before the foundation of the world. I'd also like you to look up Colossians 3:15 for brevity of time's sake. We're not going to look it up and read it today, but I want you to read it. In this sense, Romans 8:28 reference to these is rendered called ones who, having been called, constituting those that are called to love God. You did not choose him. You know, people say, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He wasn't lost. You didn't find him. He chose you. in eternity to come unto himself. He picked you to be born in the family you're born in. He picked you to go to the schools you went to. He picked you to be on those jobs that you're on. He picked you to be whatever you are in the community in which you live. God elected you for that. He chose you. He skilled you. He gave you what the knowledge and skill in order to perform those things. You can't brag about nothing. You know, the Lord blessed my husband to finish a doctorate after 8 years. He's got a doctorate after 8 years. But that wasn't even him doing that. That's the Lord. Do you know, when people give me compliments, and I get them occasionally, they'll say, you know, Miss Liverman, you know, so and so and so. I say, God is good. Everything that is about me that's good is about him. It's not about me. If you catch me doing something good, because the Bible says, in the flesh dwell what? No good thing. So if you catch me doing the right thing, that's God moving. It's not me. Yeah, because see, I tell y'all, my sister's going to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And she's telling me, Karen, don't get up there and tell them people you're a murderer. I said, why not? I'm a murderer at heart. I could kill somebody. I get that mad. Yeah, but the Lord constrains me. And he constrains you. Those things you judge others so harshly on, if it weren't but for the grace of God, there go you. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Yeah. The only reason I'm not in prison, because it wasn't course for me to be in prison. Yeah. But I, in my heart, I've done some pretty bad things. And in the natural, I've done some pretty bad things too. All of us have. Look in the mirror. You ain't looking at a saint. You look at somebody who saved a sinner who is saved by grace. That's all of us. So y'all stop bragging on yourself and start lifting up Jesus. Give the credit where the credit is due. You are on that job because of him. Yeah. You do good in school because of him, not because of you. Now, I'm not saying don't study, students. Yeah, you got to study. You got a part to play. But it's God who has perfected that in you both to will and do of what? His good pleasure. Guys, it's all about Christ. It's not about you. So start giving the glory where it is due, and that is to him. Accordingly, scriptural inaccuracies misconstrues that in Christ statuses are not abiding before they are manifestly received in earthly testimonial for God's enactments or grants in eternity. They are solely extractions rather than recipients receiving them in time. That goes back to the point that we didn't do anything. We were not earning salvation in grace of God. All that was given to us based on God's sovereign will and his plan. Thus, what was is eternally bestowed. Therefore, it is not the one receiving a gift that affirms it, but the works of the grantor, which is God. Moreover, authorized custody depends upon prior possession. Otherwise, it cannot be, because extraction is founded either upon acquisition or bestowal, but not on one's reception of such benefits. So again, it's not of works. You didn't do anything. You were passive. And I keep pointing that down because a lot of people are hung up on when they got saved and what they were and what they did and me and I, when really it's all about him. Preciseness and awareness of possessions are disconnected, as the former encompasses God's justifying and sanctifying grace in his glory itself. We are sanctified through the washing of the water of the word. We're sanctified. We're clean. You know, you can't clean yourself up. I don't care if you're using Dial body wash or what I like sometimes, occasionally, some Chanel. But that's not doing it, guys. The only thing that could wash away our sins was the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Goes back to Jesus. Goes back to his finished eternal workings. Not about you. Not because you go to church on Sunday. Not because you tithe. I mean, we don't tithe here. We've been here over 16 years just on grace giving. When we have a need, one of the ministers gets up and says, we got a need. Those of you that have been blessed to give, give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so not about what you give, not about what you wear. And we can go on and on about the end time things that we do. But none of that made you good enough for the work of Christ, the finished work in eternity. Hallelujah. However, dependence on the latter is not an act of receiving these benefits, but on him having granted it. It all goes back to him. Furthermore, what absurdity follows in inaccurate doctrines is that heaven is not the saints' permanent possession, or that they have no tenure of it upon earth before initializing and through consensual acceptance of it. See, that goes back to that, again, that bilateralism. We think if we do this, then God's going to do that. If we confess Christ, then God's going to save us, you know, which is not true. Your salvation is a done deal, whether or not you even receive it. Your salvation, your membership in the body of Christ, hallelujah, has nothing to do with you, but all to do with him. And that answers the call of when you see people marching about different issues concerning women's rights. And I'm not going to do the political thing, but whoever is saved can be saved even without a body. If God elected you for salvation, even in your mother's womb, he said we were in our mother's womb and he knew us. So it's an eternal entity. It's nothing to do with time or with us at all. God has picked who he wants to be part of the body of Christ in spite of what they are, who they are, whether or not they're rich, whether or not they're poor, whatever ethnicity they have, whatever their culture is, wherever they are on the earth. God has already chosen them and marked them. But now the dilemma for us is, those that want to judge, we want to say, oh, these people in this group are all going to hell. Oh, this group ain't been baptized like me. They all going to hell. Oh, this one. And we could go on and on and on how we try to determine who's the body of Christ. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God that in spite of all these short things and these short-sightedness and small-mindedness that people have, that God picked me. Hallelujah. And that God picked you. And we can only go by your testimony. And we have to go by even from those that we won't even know to be identified until we ourselves are united with him in eternity. Hallelujah. And we're in eternity right now. Right, but we're still in these bodies, but we are still in the eternal presence of God. Hallelujah. But it's about God, and it's his business. We can't regulate it, and we can't define it. Our minds are finite and limited. Hallelujah. So we have to treat everyone with love and respect. We have to receive everyone as they might be Christ. Everyone. Love them as you love Christ. Everyone. Everybody say everyone. Everyone. You know, I'm involved with a lot of social work because that's kind of what I do as a profession. I'm really a teacher, but they kind of made me a nurse and a social worker. But anyway, when I go to meetings, inevitably I get surrounded by some people that are a little bit different. A little bit different. I won't go any further than that, but they're a little different. And I first thought, well, maybe they were gravitating toward me because I wear my hair cut short, you know. And finally, I asked him. I said, well, you know what? Because they'll ask me, they said, well, can I sit here? I said, oh, yeah, you can sit here, you know. And so I look around. I got a table of all these different kind of people. You know, they're a little different than most folks. And they're sitting around me. So finally, I asked one. I said, why is it that when I come to these meetings, inevitably, I get all a lot of strange, y'all. I don't know y'all, but you know, they said, we know you. I said, you know me? They said, when we walk into the room, we survey the room and we can see those that are safe. We can see those that have love. And we come around you because we know we are safe and accepted and will be treated properly with you. I said, well, hallelujah to God. They're seeing the love of Jesus. What are people seeing when they see you? You know, we had a mother at our church. She'd get up and brag about she had been saved from the time she was 6 years old. And she had the longest skirt and she kept up the longest confusion. Yeah, but she was bragging about she'd been saved since she was six. And she had these long skirt and cotton stockings. And she was walking in holiness. And she just covered, carrying a lot of confusion and busybody. You know, what are people seeing when they see you? Are they seeing kindness? Are they seeing meekness? Are they seeing the love of God? Or are you mean as a rattlesnake? I'm saying to you, let's lighten it up. let's give people a break like we were given a break. Yeah, let's love one another as Christ loved the church, that he gave his life for the church. Husbands, be kind to your wives. Wives, be respectful to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. And that's a stickler thing with me. You know, I got 10 kids, and I demanded respect. And let me tell you why. My mother garnered respect. Wouldn't take anything less. And I figure my kids are no better than me. So if I couldn't get away talking back to my mom and saying smart things and rolling my eyes, y'all know what y'all do now. And some of these folks, you see them out in the mall, see them sometime in church. I ain't going to say no more about that. But you see them doing all kinds of things, being disrespectful, and parents give them a free card. And let me tell you, whatever you compromise to keep as parents, you lose it. If you let the children disrespect dad, you're going to be next. You let the husbands, you let the children disrespect mom, you're going to be next. They're going to come and they're going to do you too. So I figured they were no better than me. So I made mine toe the line. And the kids will tell you, they said they William would be in the den studying or on the computer or something, and they said he'd come out of nowhere if he heard the wrong word. And he'd come and tell me, he said, "That's my wife you talking to. What's wrong with you? What's going on here?" They said, "Oh, nothing, Dad, nothing, Dad, nothing, Dad." You know. So I'm saying to you, let us walk in love, the love of Christ. Let us show one another. They should know us by our love. By the kindness. Don't join in with those that are not acting Christ-like. You don't have to. I don't wear a sign that say I love Jesus. I try to be measured by my love, by my countenance, by how I'll receive people. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I only got the two paragraphs, and I got all of this, but I'm not going to do it today. Instead, for the next time, I want you to read Philemon. And Philemon really was the key of what our lesson was about today. It's only one chapter, and I won't go into it, but read it on your own. I want you saints to walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith. And when we talk about walking by faith, we're talking about vertical viewing. We're talking about looking down on your problems, looking down on your circumstances, seeing them completed in Christ. You know, I was coming here and I was listening to the radio and the song was on. He's talking about, "I'm ready for the war. I got my war clothes on and I'm about to beat Satan across the head." And, you know, he's going on. The scripture tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And guys, the battle is already won. So walk by faith and not by sight. Viewing life from the vertical plane of our sonship position in Christ Jesus and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to our daily lives. Again, saints, be encouraged. Walk by faith and not by sight.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him.